welcome to the Grow Your English podcast with English Language Tree. Before I say my usual double hello at the beginning of this episode, I just want to let you know that in the show notes there is a link where you can sign up for a complete transcript. And this episode transcript is better than any that you'll find generated by AI on podcast platforms, because I personally check it, correct it so it makes sense, and I create a list of useful vocabulary as well as other language and learning points. So if you're listening to this, but you've never really looked at the show notes or seen the link, it will help guide your ears through an episode. I do recommend that you sign up. It could be really helpful to you, especially if you're preparing for an exam. So without further ado, here is episode 14 of the Grow Your English podcast, all about the Cambridge C1 Advanced Exam. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Grow Your English podcast. You are very welcome from wherever in the world you're listening today, and I happen to know that I have a few new listeners in some new countries, so you are all really welcome. My guest today is Yelena Petkov, and Yelena is an English language teacher who specialises in preparing students for Cambridge English exams. Hi, Yelena.
Hello, Tree.
It's really nice to have you here. So Yelena is the founder of the English with Ellen Language Centre and also has a vibrant Instagram account all about the Cambridge English exams. And Yelena's motto, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right, is what she lives by in her classroom, business and personal life. So I hope that we'll have a little bit of fun today. All right. Thank you very much for coming to share your exam wisdom with us, Yelena. I've got a few questions from students, a few that I would like to know the answers to as well. So we'll start off with, why did you decide to specialise in the Cambridge English exams?
Well, Tree, that's a great question. Actually, I didn't have a big master plan, you know. It all came spontaneously. I was teaching students who were taking the exam, and they needed some additional help. So I was thinking, like, how I could help them. And that's why I started my Instagram page, just for, like, you mm-hmm. know, eight of them. So I didn't know what would happen later, and that I would focus only on the exams on Instagram, and that I would start creating courses and things like that. But it came very spontaneously, and that's what I actually like. Now, the thing is that I still teach different levels and general English courses, but most of my students prepare for either B2 or C1 Cambridge English exams. Mm-hmm. And why did I decide? Why did I stick? Have I stuck to that, to the Cambridge English exams? Is that I really like the fact that, you know, we have a clear goal, the students and I, and everything is much clearer when you have a goal in sight, and the result that's waiting for us at the end of the road is. Makes everything more serious, makes the students more serious about their studying. They make faster progress, and it's more rewarding for me, of course, as a teacher, so I can see the fruits of my labors. So I also love excitement, you know, and I just love to see, you know, when the students finally get their certificates. I love that the sort of power they feel, and this confidence, a boost of confidence mm-hmm. they feel once they reach that goal, you know, and have those certificates in their hands.
Yeah, that's a really nice point. It's something about having the grade and the result on a piece of paper or on a digital certificate is really empowering. Yeah. So you, just to backtrack slightly, you said you started your Instagram because you had eight students. When did you start it? How many years ago was that?
So it was Almost 4 years ago now.
So yeah. You started with 8 students 4 years ago. Do you want to just tell us how many followers you've got now? Because this is a huge success story.
Yes. Well, now I have almost 50,000.
Wow. 50,000 followers. If you don't already follow Jelena on Instagram, I will link her socials to the show notes, but it's Cambridge English with Ellen. Anyway, let's carry on. So we're going to focus today on the C1 advanced exam in particular. This episode's part of a mini series of 3. So we've got B2, where I was speaking to Sangeeta, and we're going to talk about C2 with Sarah in the future. So let's focus in on C1. Why do you think it is that people take the Cambridge C1 advanced?
Okay, for some people it's a logical step after passing their B2 exam. They want to move on to study further. Then for some people it's just, they want to prove their English skills to the world. So this certificate is the proof of their English language ability. Some people want to gain more confidence, so they feel they have learned a lot, and they have gathered a lot of passive knowledge, which they now want to organize somehow and put into action, and finally get some proof of their ability. Mm. Lots of people need the certificate because they want to go to study abroad. Now, B2 is enough for high schools, for example, where English is the language of instruction. B2 is also enough for some bachelor programs, but you need C1 at university level for masters, for PhD studies, so that's a must. Lots of people also study English for work. The world is a global village today, so we have a lot of international companies. So people need to give presentations, they need to take part in meetings, so they need to be very confident in their English skills, and studying for C1 helps. And also in some companies, the employers request that their employees have some sort of certificate. And finally, yeah, some people need this certificate for their visa requirements, which is also very important if you are moving abroad.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, thank you. That was a detailed answer. So apart from the level, is there any particular difference between the B2 first and the C1 advanced exams?
Yes, there are some differences. Now, all the Cambridge exams have a similar structure. But yes, there are certain differences between different exams. For example, there are 4 parts of the exam, and there are certain differences in each part. For example, in the reading paper, we have one more reading task. So in the B2 exam, we have 7 different tasks in the reading use of English section, and in the C1 exam, we have 8 tasks. So one additional reading task, and you have 15 minutes more to finish the reading section. Writing part is also different. So there is no article in the C1 exam. The essay is also different from the B2 essay. Mm. And there is an additional writing task which you can choose if you wish, and that's a proposal. So that's something different. Mm-hmm. Also, the language that you need to use in writing has to be different from the B2 writing. Mm-hmm. Then there's the listening part. There are minor differences in the listening part. Speaking part is also very similar. There is just one minor difference. One difference in the structure of the paper.
I just want to go back to what you said about the writing. So there are still 2 tasks. The first is the essay, and then the second, mm-hmm. you get to choose, depending on what's in the paper, from report, proposal, formal letter.
Letter or email, and a review.
Review, that's the... I always forget the review, why? Okay, yeah. So it's good to prepare for all of them. Because you don't know exactly which you get to select from. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But the essay is...
In the C1 exam, it has to look academic. So the B2 essay doesn't have to, it's okay if it looks a little bit academic, but the C1 essay needs to be academic. You need to write it using academic language. That's the difference.
Which then reflects the purpose for which people often need it, as well as a kind of entry point into university study.
Exactly. The topics are also something that differentiates B2 and C1. So the topics at C1 are more, let's say, these topics might be something that you haven't given much thought before. So something more abstract, let's say, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And to kind of prepare yourself for a variety of different topics with that kind of academic edge. Yeah, okay. Is there anything we've forgotten then in the kind of overview of the exam?
Okay, so there are... we have the four skills in the English language or any language. For that matter. So we have two receptive skills and two productive skills. So the receptive skills are reading and listening. We are receiving information. And we have two productive skills, speaking and writing. So we are producing something. So the exam is actually separated into those four parts related to the skills. Now, the thing is that the reading part is actually divided into two parts, the reading and the use of English section. So,
yeah.
When you look at it like that, there are five parts of the exam, and each part is weighted the same. So for each part of the exam, you get 20% of the grade, and they are all equally important. And these skills, they cannot be separated one from another. They all overlap. And they relate to each other. So I just want to say that it's very important to work on each one, not to neglect any of the skills.
Yeah. That's a really nice way to put it, actually, that they overlap. Is you can't learn any of them in isolation. You know, they're all interconnected, absolutely. And your neglect is a good word. Yeah, you shouldn't neglect any of them. And so without giving away all your top secret tips, could you give us some ideas on the best ways to improve for certain parts of the exam?
Yes, sure. Okay, so the advice I can offer is very similar for the reading and for the listening. And that is, once you practice a reading or a listening task, always analyze the answers once you complete the task. So always analyze why your answer is right and why it is wrong, and find the proof why your answer is right or wrong. And this can really help you, this analysis of your answers. So don't just, you know, I'm trying to find the right word. You know, throw away that exam task that you were working on once you do the task and not look at it again, but really dissect the task. Try to learn some new vocabulary. Try to spot some grammar structures that you studied. So try to, you know, use the text, and all these reading tasks, listening tape scripts are perfect for working on your English.
Yes, I like that kind of not throwing it away. I'm just going to interject about what you said about, you know, not kind of just putting it to one side, throwing it away, because analysing the wrong answers as well as the correct answers, you can then find patterns in the parts where you need to put a bit more focus, I would say. So, yeah, rather than just totting it up, how many marks for this part, like try and figure out if there's any kind of common areas that you need to really work on. Would you say that's right?
Yeah. Yes, there are lots of those distractors. You know, the examiners are trying to trick us, sort of. But
red herrings. Yes.
Yeah, red herrings, yes. So it is crucial to see why we made a certain mistake, not just to put away that task and mm-hmm. never look at it again.
Yeah. You need to put in the effort for sure. Mm, okay.
So that's about reading and listening. About the use of English mm-hmm. section, well, my advice is to really spend time studying and practicing grammar. And grammar rules, that's something that people overlook, and they think they won't need all those conditionals or I don't know what, but actually it is very important that you study grammar regularly and revise it. The writing section, yes, oh well, the more you write, the better writer you're gonna be. My advice is, if you're doing this alone, try to find some sample answers. You can find them online on cambridgeenglish.org, and take a look at these sample answers with examiner comments and try to find out what to do and what not to do in the writing section, because it's really hard to do this alone, and this is where you really need a teacher or someone to check the tasks and to help you level up. One thing I always tell my students to do is to make sure they answer the tasks. Never write anything that's irrelevant. That is irrelevant to the task. And even one sentence can lower the score.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Make sure you answer the question. But it's surprising how many students write something that's nicely written, it's got good vocabulary, but if it doesn't answer the question and doesn't tick off those points, you're not going to score highly. And as you said, looking at the model answers is really useful, because you've got that examiner feedback, but it also gives the marking criteria, so it shows you in which area you could improve. And if you get only a one for content because you haven't included everything, it really brings the score down. And it's something which continually surprises me, actually, I would say, as a teacher. But yeah, it is more difficult to do it by yourself, but it's not impossible. But I think it's much simpler if you've got somebody kind of gently pointing this out, rather than banging your head against a brick wall and thinking, why have I not got this score?
Finally, the speaking part. This is an informal chat between you, your partner, and the examiner. Some candidates think that they should use, high level academic words all through the speaking part, but it's not really like that, and there's no need to use formal language in the speaking part. There are certain things that examiners expect you to use, and that's conversational discourse markers, everyday phrases, and then you should also use phrasal verbs and idioms, which are informal and conversational as well. And you should pay attention to your grammar. So the basic grammar needs to be very accurate. And as for the advanced grammar, you can, even if you're not 100% sure that you're going to get it right, the examiners reward actually your effort and your bravery. So be brave, try to use some advanced structures.
Yeah. But as you said, don't only try and use really complex language, because it just sounds artificial and you're putting more pressure on yourself. You can make a few mistakes if you are attempting these higher level structures. But yeah, if you try and do it all the way through, you just sound a little bit like a language robot.
True.
All right. So moving on then. What do you think are the biggest misconceptions that students have about this exam? I mean, we've just touched on one, haven't we, with the trying to use really complex language all the time in the speaking part. Are there any others that come to mind?
So the C1 level is not just about formal academic vocabulary. There is one interesting misconception that you should speak in speak British English in the speaking part. And that's a misconception. So you can speak with an American accent or whichever accent you prefer. It's important that your intonation is clear and that you stress, put the stress in the right parts of the words and sentences. So, it's not important which English variety you use.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, actually, because yeah, that it's a huge misconception. As long as your pronunciation doesn't impede, which means prevent communication, it doesn't matter whatever accent you use. You might have a mixture of wonderful English accents from your friends, places you've studied, places you've been to, things that you listen to, and it really doesn't matter. And this idea is because it's Cambridge, it has to be a very posh British accent. It's absolute rubbish. So I'm really glad that you said that. Thank you. Ooh, my dog agrees. Oops. I'm really glad you said that. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then another thing is that some people think that they need to know all the phrasal verbs and all the idioms in order to pass the exam. That's also not true. We don't need to focus on all those phrasal verbs. There's definitely going to be a phrasal verb somewhere in the exam, tested somewhere in the exam, but we never know which one. And
do you mean, yeah, it's not necessary to kind of memorize all the verbs with up or all the verbs with on? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. My final idea when we're talking about misconceptions is that some people think they can take the exam and pass it without any exam preparation. They think their language is advanced enough and they think they will just, you know, take the exam and pass it no problem, but you know, preparation is very important. Looking at each task and what we should do and how we should do it in the best possible way. And also there is the other side of the coin that some people think they need a lot of time. So I also think it's a misconception that you need too much time for this.
What do you think is too much time? A year, 2 years?
I think that 1 year is okay, but a year and a half or 2 years, I think that's more than is enough.
Okay. Obviously, it depends on the starting level, but I know that you're launching a C1 master course, so I imagine that probably isn't a year long.
Well, it is intensive, it's only 6 months long, yeah.
Okay. Six months, all right. And intensive means putting the hours of study in and... Yeah, you have to be dedicated to the goal.
Yes, you need to be dedicated. Yeah, you should study for 1 hour a day, let's say. Which I think is
that's a nice discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have the motivation, you need the exam, you want the exam. You know, some people go to the gym for an hour a day or play a musical instrument for an hour a day. Yeah, okay. Totally achievable. Yeah, great.
On social media.
Okay.
For more than an hour a day.
Oh, yes. Scrolling. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, way more than an hour a day. Yeah, when you put it like that, it's really not that much of a time investment, actually, for a very important outcome. Okay. So you did mention this earlier about the kind of the feedback that you can get on the productive skills from a teacher. But do you have any other thoughts on why students would need a teacher to prepare rather than just do self-study for the exam?
Yeah, you can study on your own. There are loads of different resources and material online. Of course, you can study everything alone these days. But a teacher in this or in anything else is your shortcut. And the teacher makes it easier and saves you time. And the teacher is there to, you know, spot your weaknesses, to help you work on them, to show you the direction and to show you the fastest route. You know, you don't have to, as you said, to bang your head against the wall. The teacher can really show you the door. You know, much easier.
The teacher can bang their head.
Yeah, for you. Okay. And the feedback, as you mentioned, it's something that's invaluable in anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, highlighting the gap between where you are now and where you want to be, that's why the value of a teacher is great. Just, you know, to help you shorten this journey.
Yes. And as you said, to prepare, the preparation part of it, helping you with the strategies, kind of explaining how it works and what happens. So, you know, when you take the exam, you're not thinking, oh, I'm not sure what to do here or this part. Or, oh, gosh, there are four papers. I had no idea. Obviously, you can find that out online. But yeah, shortcut, saving time. And also encouraging you as a student. It can be quite a lonely, arduous process. You know, you need a cheerleader if you're studying for this exam, I think.
No doubt, yeah. The teacher will, you know, is the person who will really understand you and your struggles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Do you happen to know how many people you've supported through the C1 exam?
My own students.
Yeah, I just wondered if you had an idea.
Well, I have personally prepared more than 250 people for the B2 and C1 exam. Now, I don't know how many for C1 in particular, but yeah, somewhere more than 100, I think.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, so we know that Yelena's advice is really top quality, proven, tried and trusted, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I'll be your cheerleader. Great. All right. Any other reasons why people need a teacher rather than...
I mean, you know, it's interesting that this exam, B2 also, but C1 and C2 in particular, these are not just about grammar and vocabulary. So the exam doesn't assess only the language. And you really need to have a deep understanding of how language works, and you need to be able to understand the subcontext and to develop these higher order thinking skills, like critical thinking skills and how to evaluate things, how to analyze some information, reasoning skills also. So this is, the exam is beyond just language and pure comprehension, and the teacher can really, really help there as well.
Yeah, really good point. Yes, there's a lot going on, isn't there? And in quite a short space of time as well, and being able to come up with all the wonderful language requires different parts of your brain firing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, nice. So far, brilliant tips. I'm going to ask you now a question which I ask all of my guests. And if you are a regular listener, you might be able to predict what's coming. What single piece of advice do you have for my lovely listeners to grow their exam English?
Okay, for all the lovely listeners, this is my tip.
Yeah.
Read widely. Read. This is going to help with your vocabulary, with your grammar, with your comprehension. You will see the way the language works. And it's also fun in a way that it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like studying, but you're actually learning through reading. And it is extremely helpful for every part of the exam. I have noticed a huge difference in the language skills between my students who read and those who don't read. And the difference is really enormous. And I will even go so far as to say that there's almost, okay, I'm gonna say it, there's almost no chance that a student who doesn't read will get an A in the test. Seriously. Okay. Yeah,
brilliant. Thank you so much. Everybody now needs to go away and pick up a book and start working on that grow your exam English tip. Yelena, it's been wonderful to speak to you. Your insight and your tips have been so useful, and I'm sure that people listening who are currently studying for the C1 or are thinking about it have been given some confidence, bolstered. You know, you've helped to be their cheerleader today and give them some new ideas. It's been really, really interesting speaking to you. And, you know, congratulations on your success and for your students' success. It's obviously, you know, you're doing superb things. So congratulations. I will put the links to Yelena's social media and the course as well, the C1 master course, into the show notes. And yeah, I mean, I have nothing more to ask you. I think we've really nailed the C1 advanced exam. So thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for your invitation. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great to have you on. Thank you so much. And to everybody listening, I hope you've also enjoyed it. And bye-bye for now. If you enjoyed the Grow Your English podcast, come and find me on Instagram @eltreeonline.